Hey, it's Ian Furness for my good friend, Dr. Jay Rudd at Aurora LASIK and AuroraLASIK.com. No more readers. How about that? For about 15 years, I've used reading glasses, but no more. I had refractive lens exchange. I can tell you for a fact it's a life-changing and also something I wish I would have done years ago. You need to check it out as well. Go to AuroraLASIK.com. That's AuroraLASIK.com. Dr. Jay Rudd. He is absolutely sensational. Get your consultation scheduled. That's AuroraLASIK.com for your refractive lens exchange.
This is the Ian Furness Show.
Here come the Kraken. This is Larson. Right circle. Walks in. Scores! Adam Larson. The game on his stick. Down the right side. And the Kraken survive the Dallas push. They get the extra point. 5-4 in Big D.
Adam with the larceny in Dallas.
Text us at 49451 and hit the talkback mic on the iHeartRadio app.
Trout's ready. 3-2.
He struck him out. Ohtani strikes out Trout, and Japan's back on top of the baseball world.
This is the new Sports Radio 93.3 KJRFM.
All right, here we go. Wednesday edition of the program. Big day coming up today. Cosell standing by. He'll join us in just a second, talking all things Seahawks, NFL draft, linebackers. What does he think of Devin Bush Jr., Julian Love? What do you think of those guys? I am curious about that. And we'll talk stack linebackers today. Trivia question. Trivia time. Who would be the Seahawk linebackers if they were to play a game today?
Ooh.
That answers that. Okay.
Yeah.
So well, that might be a position of need for your Seattle Seahawks, and Cosell will join us in just a couple moments. You heard the Adam Larson game-winning goal for the Kraken last night in Big D. What a huge, enormous 2 points there. Joey DeCord, Kraken goalie, called up from the American Hockey League, was sensational last night, and he will join us coming up at 2 o'clock this afternoon. We're looking forward to that as well. Cosell, that, much more, all that, 49451. Tell them more, new text line. You got thoughts, you got questions, you got concerns, you want to talk marijuana with us, whatever it is, fire away.
That's a callback from yesterday, by the way. It's not random.
It's not random. It was what it's like I said, we could ask a serious sports question topic and get no response. We brought up marijuana and baggies and grams.
We didn't even ask everyone.
Didn't even ask for a text.
Unprompted.
And you people listening sent off a couple hundred texts that were, many of them hysterical, some couldn't be read on the air.
Educational.
And I guess educational,
yes,
as well.
We learned grams to pounds.
Yeah, we did. Metric system. God, went back to elementary school. I was back in Our Lady of Fatima. Fun times. All right. But yeah, great stuff yesterday. So thanks to everyone. 49451. We'll find another random topic for you to text in and make us laugh with today. All that. First, let's get to headlines.
Now, from the Star Reynolds Sports Desk, your 93.3 KJRFM Sports Headlines.
Dallas Stars scored with 0.7 seconds left to go last night. Uncalled penalty, by the way, on that. Brutal. But it didn't matter. Kraken still get the win. They get a win in overtime, skating 3 aside. When Adam Larson, everyone thinks, who had Adam Larson scoring in overtime? The defense, stay-at-home defenseman, getting a partial breakaway. Nope, nobody. Brandon Tanev had a couple goals. That fourth line was sensational last night. John Hayden, by the way, underwent surgery. He'll go on long-term injury reserve. That might free up some space and things to do on the roster. We'll find out. Kraken tomorrow against the Preds, 5 o'clock, right here on 93.3 KJR FM. You're home for the Kraken. That is a big two-game set against the Preds. You win one of those two, you're almost in. It makes it really hard for them. Well, it makes it really hard for Nashville to catch you, because then you have the season series over there. So keep that in mind.
You got Calgary.
Yeah, you still have to worry about Calgary. Shohei Ohtani struck out Mike Trout. Yes, Angels on Angels crime secured Japan's 3-2 win over the Team USA World Baseball Classic. I asked the guys earlier, am I a bad American? I was rooting for Ohtani to strike him out.
Totally.
That's not a bad American. He plays for an American team.
Well, I hate both of them. I hate that team. I hate both those guys. Well, I hate their team. I just like Ohtani.
You can hate on Mike Trout at the same time, too.
I don't like Trout. I mean, I like him, but I don't. But I really like Ohtani. So
it's a hate respect.
Yeah, it is. Hate respect. That's a good way to put it. I was really rooting for Ohtani to strike him out, and he did. And it was sick what he did to him. I mean, just that was a homicide, man. That was awful.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson back on his throwing on the field at OTAs, according to Ian Rappaport. Apparently, he had arthroscopic knee surgery after the season.
Oh, hope you feel better.
How about this? Our guy, Muhammad Gay. According to CougFan.com, nice job, Witter and Company. You guys out there reporting. Nobody else is. Mo Gay is either coming back to Pullman or going to the NBA. He's not going to go in the portal. There was always a concern with a guy like that, that somebody like Kentucky or somebody could offer him huge money.
NILs.
Listen, there was every guy, most of those guys on that team were getting paid last year. That guy's going to get paid. I mean, Kobach's on that right now, I'm sure.
Well, that's the decision we like to be seeing made, right? And you can get paid by staying in college.
Here's a good example. Armando Bacot, who led North Carolina to the Final Four last year. He's coming back for another season, fifth year for North Carolina, and said, yeah, I'm coming back. Because I have unfinished business. No, because the business that they offered you to be a Tar Heel was pretty good, more lucrative than being a second-round pick, which
unfinished
is what you will be.
Business of another kind.
And Mo Gay, by the way, is also projected to be a second-round pick. So unless you want to be CGLB, you might as well come back to Poland. Okay, that's it. Costell, standing by.
As part of our continuing coverage of the NFL, it's time for Ian's weekly visit with NFL Films' Greg Cosell. Brought to you by Two Beers and Seattle Cider Company on your home for the 12th man in the NFL. Sports Radio 93.3, KJR FM.
And here we go, Greg Cosell. I'm 5-6 weeks away from the NFL draft? We're gearing up here, Greg, right now. For the start of baseball season, we got hockey playoffs to worry about with our Seattle Kraken. We've got baseball starting next week, but I know what you're doing. You're hunkered down. You're in the bunker that is the NFL Films offices. You're getting ready for the NFL draft, free agency going on as well. And so great to have Greg on with us. Thanks to the Seattle Cider and Two Beers. Greg, let me ask you about a couple guys the Seahawks have signed since we last talked, and then we'll get to some draft prospects. We're going to look at linebackers today. Let me start with Devin Bush from Pittsburgh. I'll give you some context. It's interesting. Now, Seattle didn't trade up to get LJ Collier, but he was also part of that same draft class of 2019. Last year, the Seahawks did not tender a contract, a fifth year, to a first-round pick in Collier, and he ends up going and signing with Arizona, so he's gone. Pittsburgh did
became the player, Ian, that Pittsburgh hoped he would be. Obviously, when you trade up and draft a guy in the top 10, you're expecting him to be a three-down linebacker, kind of a playmaker for you. You know, obviously, he ran extremely well at the combine, very, very athletic player, sideline-to-sideline type player, but just really struggled with you know, the overriding term people like to use is instincts, but he just struggled with play recognition. So his reaction time was slow. He really struggled in coverage, not having an understanding of particularly in zone, where he should be, who he should react to. So he just really struggled with the mental part of the game. Physical talent, you know, obviously still can run. A little smaller than is ideal, but in today's NFL, that's okay because there's so much passing and linebackers tend to be a little smaller. You can live with that, but it'll be interesting with a change of scenery and someone different in his ear if he can see the game a little differently and play the game a little differently. But that was really his issue in Pittsburgh, and that's one reason why he ended up not playing in their nickel and he didn't play in their dime. And you would expect a player with that kind of athletic talent to be that kind of linebacker, but he wasn't.
Interesting, because Seattle plays a lot of nickel and they play dime too, you know.
Well, he's going to get that opportunity for sure. And yeah, then, you know, when you sign a guy like that, particularly since right now losing Barton, Brooks certainly being out, we can discuss this now with their other signing, Julian Love, but I personally think when Jamal Adams does come back, he will play much more of a linebacker position than a safety position because they still have Diggs and they signed Julian Love. So, you know, I think Adams will essentially move to whatever term you want to call it. Maybe they play big nickel, whatever term you want to call it. But I think Adams will essentially not be a true safety.
Yeah, so I think that's what people – when Julian Love was signed, there was, you know, there's a thought, you know, not thought, but people, you know, everyone likes to kind of throw in their two cents. And we all like to have an opinion. And a lot of people, well, I mean, they signed Julian Love. Maybe that means they're gonna cut, you know, Jamal Adams, or they're going to cut, you know, Quandre Diggs. I kind of looked at it like they brought Julian Love in because I think he's a pretty versatile player.
Yes.
And they went through a lot of safeties last year. They went through a lot of safeties last season. So how does – you kind of touched on it. Let's go a little deeper. How does Julian Love fit with Diggs and Adams?
Well, Love was a corner at Notre Dame.
And I should mention Ryan Neal, who they tendered an offer to. We'd expect he's back as well. So.
And I like Ryan Neal. We talked about him last year. I thought he played well. So now – again, I'm curious to see what Love is for them, because he played corner at Notre Dame. He transitioned to safety in the NFL. He played a lot of back end safety for the Giants. So he can do that, but that's basically what Diggs is, unless you're going to play with too high. So do they see Love as kind of a movable back end chess piece who can line up in the slot, who can play safety at times? I think this remains to be seen. I don't know what their plan is, because, as you said, Neal is back, and unless I'm reading it totally wrong, I thought watching the tape that Neal played pretty well. I think you feel the same way. So, okay. It would seem to me that a healthy Neal and Diggs would really be the starting safeties, but then they sign Love. So I don't know what the answer to that is. And I don't think it's going to change their nickel or dime situation, because Kobe Bryant's going to play in the slot. I thought he played well. I don't see why they'd be looking to change that. And I would think Jackson and Wallen are still going to be on the outside. So, Love was an interesting signing. Unless they plan on playing a lot more, big nickel with three safeties, and, maybe Adams doesn't fit in this at all. Again, he could start the season on the pup list, and who knows where his career goes at this point. Unfortunately, he's had numerous injuries, and you just don't know at this point.
In your mind, when you envision Jamal Adams, do you see him better at the line, or in that big nickel or linebacker role?
Yeah, I have always felt that way, and I've talked to other people in the league who basically say he's a weak side linebacker. That's kind of the way people see him, and I think that's what he is at his core. He's not a back end player. If you play him as one of your two safeties, you get stuck a little bit in what you can play, because he's not really a back end player. So, again, we don't know. Now that they sign Love, with Neal still there and Diggs still there, I'm not sure where Adams fits even when he comes back.
Greg Cosell joining us, 2-Beer Seattle Cider. Interesting comments there. We'll probably touch more on that in the next segment about Jamal Adams. I think, he's a fascinating player, and we've talked about him a lot with Greg over the years, it seems like, since he came to Seattle. All right, let's talk about linebackers out there in the draft. There's a lot of interesting guys out there, and we're kind of looking at the it's funny you just said, whatever you want to call it, a big nickel or this and that. There's the stack linebacker is kind of what I'm looking at, because right now they don't have a lot. They got Bush, and that's kind of about it on the roster. Trenton Simpson, Clemson, let's start with him and what you've seen from him.
Yeah, Trenton Simpson's a fascinating guy because he's really, really athletic. He's another one of those guys kind of followed in the footsteps of Isaiah Simmons. Not quite as big, maybe not quite as athletic, but close. So, he's... To me, they moved him around a lot at Clemson. That's what they do with these kinds of players. But to me, he's a stacked linebacker. He's got length. He's got athletic movement. He's a run and chase player. He's got inside out, sideline to sideline, play speed and range. That's what I think he is. Now, I think it'll take a little time for him at just lining him up as a stack backer and say, hey, this is what you are, assuming teams see him that way. I do. His feet were constantly moving. His energy level's high. He's got a great playing personality. There's an impact playmaking dimension to his game. He's got that desirable size, speed, athleticism profile that my guess is will result, if not in a first round selection, probably in a top 40, top 45 selection. He ran a 4.43 at 6'2", 235. His 10-yard split was like that of a wide receiver. He's a pretty good prospect. I think that he's not really a physical player in a strict sense. He's much more of that, read and react and move player.
I like the Simmons comparison in this sense, because we've talked about Simmons a lot when the Seahawks played Arizona every year, right? And it feels like it took Simmons a year or two to kind of, and he's still kind of growing into that role, right? Yep. And, recognition and things like that, being out there. And I mean, the athletic ability is not a question. It kind of feels like Simpson's similar in that regard. Like he may need a little bit of work.
And it's funny because Simmons, over the last part of this year, and now with a new coaching staff, we have no idea, in Arizona, but they essentially played him at slot corner over the last half of the season.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that, yeah.
And I don't believe that'll happen with Trenton Simpson at all, but I could be wrong. But I think he's a stacked linebacker. You know, a team that drafts someone, they line up for their first OTAs, and they put the guys on the field in their shorts and their T-shirts, and they say, okay, we're going to start with our base defense. I think Trenton Simpson's going to be a stacked backer.
Jack Campbell out of Iowa. Tall guy, right? Tall player?
6'5". I really liked his tape a lot. And he is your classic stacked backer. I personally think he could line up day one and be a starter in this league. He was one of the most enjoyable players for me to watch up to this point. You know, there's too many guys, and I mean, I'm a little crazy. I feel like, you know, I finish one and it's like, oh, there's 50 more I got to watch, you know. but, you know, he played stack backer in Iowa's defense, some snaps as an overhang defender, just depending on offensive personnel and formation, but he was predominantly a box stacked backer. He's a really good run defender. He's got size, and that's a trait, by the way. 6'5", 249 is a trait, okay? He's got physicality. He can stack and shed. He's got really high-level key and diagnose. He sees it, and he goes. He did not get caught up in the traffic an awful lot because he saw things really, really well. He had sort of that ideal mix. You know, in some ways, you can talk about a stack backer like you talk about a running back. He had a great mix of patience, vision, and decisiveness. He showed an innate feel for when to attack downhill and when to play with patience and assignment integrity. Boy, he had such a good feel for navigating the box. You know, the big question with him is going to be whether people see him as someone who can match up man-to-man on tight ends. He can certainly play underneath zone coverage. He's very, very good at that. But I really liked his tape a lot. I think he's just one of those guys that's going to be a really good player. And I think he tested, whatever this means for people, I think he tested better than people thought at the combine.
Which, when the coverage, how about coverage, covering a tight end stuff, that's important. You know, those types of numbers, I would
think. Yeah, no, I mean, he's certainly not an elite athlete with twitch and sudden movement. But you see, he's got really good straight line linear movement. He's got more than functional play speed and range. He made a lot of plays outside the box. Just a question, can he cover tight ends? He certainly has the size, but can he run with tight ends? Because at some point, you're going to have to do that.
I think another big linebacker in terms of height, Drew Sanders out of Arkansas.
Yeah, and Drew Sanders, for those who don't know, Drew Sanders actually started his career at Alabama. And he was really more of an edge player, and it became apparent that he was really not going to do that at Alabama because they had Will Anderson and they had Dallas Turner, who's the next guy. He'll play this year and then probably be a top 10 pick after this year. So he's, you know, 6'4", 235, really good size. He played both stacked linebacker and pass rusher in Arkansas's defense. He's versatile. I mean, there's a rangy feel to his movement with his size and overall athleticism. He can move laterally with efficiency. He's physical. He's really competitive. He showed enough stack and shed where you feel like he can do that in the league. When he did rush the quarterback, he had a speed to power conversion element to him, strong hands. Another guy that's not sudden or explosive. He's more measured. But his size and his length captures your attention for sure. Now, he, unlike Campbell, he got caught up in the box quite a bit. So, you know, you have to kind of decide why that's the case. I think his run fits need to be a little more efficient. There were times I thought he was guessing and searching as opposed to, hey, this is where I know I need to be. But he's another guy, really good size, you know, physical guy. He's probably a stack backer. That's what he'll probably transition to in the league.
A guy that people are familiar with out here, and it feels like he's a yes or no guy for so many people. I look at, you know, as we look around and start reading different things on drafts, but we watched him play for the last few years here at Oregon, and that's Noah Sewell. We know how good his brother is on the offensive line right now in Detroit, but what about Noah Sewell, the linebacker?
Yeah, now, I watched a lot of Noah Sewell because, you know, he was on a lot of people's lists. And as you know, not a high first round pick or anything, but as a guy who was, you know, obviously played what he was started all 3 years at Oregon. He was a 5-star recruit out of Utah. So he started 31 games, you know, and he's been talked about a lot, you know, along with the corner that they have, Christian Gonzalez. you know, I didn't see it on film, and I kept watching and watching and watching. And he's a stack backer, although they used him as a pass rusher a lot in their sub defenses, and I don't think that's what he'll do in the NFL at all. But as a stack backer, I thought he had average athleticism and movement. I didn't think he had real good lateral quickness and change of direction in the confined space of the box. You know, there were plays here and there where he showed the ability to stack and shed, but I didn't think he did that really, really well. So to me, he's a box run defending linebacker who, to me, didn't have a lot of the traits that are required to do that at the NFL level. So, you know, I did not see him as a guy that I'd look at as a higher type draft choice. You know, I thought that his change of direction was kind of segmented. His play pursuit speed and range was lacking. I thought there were too many times the play happened and he stood there and didn't really react to anything. So, you know.
Hey, it's Ian Furness for Aurora LASIK and Dr. J. Rudd. For about 15 years, I have had to use reading glasses for everything, reading text, looking at my phone, script writing, whatever it was. I had to use reading glasses, but no more. I had refractive lens exchange at Aurora LASIK with Dr. J. Rudd. It's life-changing. I wish I would have done this years ago. You can check it out as well. Go to auroralasik.com. That's auroralasik.com. Dr. J. Rudd and his staff are sensational. No more readers. Get your consultation scheduled today. That's auroralasik.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
He's not going to match up man-to-man on tight ends either. That he's not going to do. So, you know, again, this is just a tape study thing. Maybe I'll be wrong, but I just didn't see it on tape.
Interesting, too. You know, as you mentioned, all the accolades coming out of high school and all those things, and sometimes you just are what you are, and maybe sometimes you can transition and get better. But, yeah, I've heard that for a couple of people about Sewell as well, so we'll see where he ends up going.
I talked to a guy who was a linebacker coach in the league for a long, long, long time, and he gave me a phrase that I love, and I'm not going to take credit for it, but I thought it was a great phrase. He said that his key and diagnosed read and react were not what it needs to be given his athletic limitations. And the phrase he used was, he says he has a little bit of a slow shutter. And that's a great phrase, a little bit of a slow shutter. And I thought the tape reflected that.
Like a camera, just a little blurry, a little blurry. All right. Anybody else jump out of the page? Seattle needs linebackers.
Great. Yeah. I mean, another player who's talked about, and I think, you know, I liked him more than Sewell, and that's the Alabama kid, Henry To'oTo'o. He's another stacked backer who was a big, big-time recruit. You know, he's from the West Coast. I don't know if you remember. He came from De La Salle High School in California, which is a big-time high school, as you know, in terms of high school football. He was a four-star top 50 recruit, first went to Tennessee, played 2 years, then went to Alabama, played 2 years, 50 overall starts in the SEC. And that's a lot of starts. You know, I didn't think he was a great prospect, but I thought he was a much better prospect than Sewell. He's not as big as Sewell. He's 6'1", 227. He's not a great athlete. You know, he doesn't have that great short area twitch and explosiveness and play speed and range that you'd ideally like. But I think that his recognition is better. I think there's an awareness to his game. I think he's smoother and more fluid in his movement, even though he's not, you know, sudden or twitchy. You know, and I thought he was at his best when he saw it and he slipped blocks without losing his gap integrity. He's more finesse than physical. I think this guy has a chance to be a base starting linebacker in the NFL. You know, I think that there was something about him, the more I watched, that I kind of liked, even though I didn't think that he was, you know, a top 60 kind of pick guy.
All right. I'm being told you might have a surprise for me as well. Another name.
Well, yeah. Here's a guy that fascinates me. Nolan Smith out of Georgia. Okay. Nolan Smith out of Georgia tested off the charts at the combine, which everybody knew he would because he's a great athlete. You know, fast guys run fast. Great athletes are great athletes. That's kind of the way it works.
And they all come from the SEC in Georgia.
Right. We're not kind of surprised when fast guys run fast, you know?
Right.
I learned that in my first combine from an old school scout sitting around trying to meet people. And an old school scout said with a great Southern accent, you know what the 40-yard dash tells you? It tells you that fast guys run fast and slow guys run slow. Yeah, it was great, you know, because that's kind of the way it is. You know, Nolan Smith he came in at 238 at the combine. Okay. But my guess is watching his tape. And again, I did so much tape on him as well, even last year. I would bet he played at 225 because he has a waist that we would all love to have, Ian, believe me. You know, he's got one of those waists. There's a part of me, and there's other coaches who I've talked to who believe the same thing. I wonder if his best position to transition to in the NFL isn't going to be stacked backer because, you know, he's got some pass rush traits. He's unrefined. He would need a lot of work other than the fact that he's a great athlete and ridiculously explosive, but he's not really a refined pass rusher. But let's say he's 225 to 230. I don't know if he can be a pass rush, you know, play on the ball as his base position. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there's a part of me that thinks he might end up being a stack backer in this league. And like I said, I know some coaches that believe the same thing. So we'll see how teams see him. You know, if he is 225, 228, I'm not sure teams are going to see him as an edge rusher unless it's, you know, a specific situation. You know, then it becomes situational football.
Well, I know a team that likes to take players and change their positions. Hell, they did it with defensive lineman, making an offensive lineman, et cetera. And like to move guys around. The coach is named Pete. You might have heard of him, Carroll,
last
name.
Yeah, I think he's been there for a few years, yeah.
That kind of screams a Pete Carroll pick along the way. And I just checked, we are indeed 5 weeks away from draft week of the NFL. 5 weeks from now, we'll be talking to Greg on the eve of the first round of the NFL draft. I can't wait. And we will talk to you in 7 days' time to continue the preparation. Seahawks fans loving hearing from you. And you know who else loves hearing from you? I know he tunes in every week, our friend Hugh Millen as well. So.
Oh, yeah. I love you. He's best.
He's listening as we speak. Yeah. Greg, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week. Big thanks, Seattle Cider and Two Beers. We'll take a break, come back. Much more to come. Don't forget, Joey DeCord, Kraken goaltender, coming up at 2 o'clock on 93.3 KGRFN.
On your exclusive home for the buzzer-beating coverage of March Madness.
Are we back on? Sorry, I was listening to the podcast about basketball in the Philippines. I was busy. Anders, what do we have? We had this discussion yesterday.
Yes.
I consider myself one of the easiest hosts to work with, if not the easiest. I'm not. Listen.
That is true.
3 o'clock gets a little more high maintenance.
Yeah.
Morning show is inherently high maintenance.
I mean, you just have to be early for the morning show.
That's they're high maintenance. I mean, listen, let's be honest. Pal.
You're just trying to get Anders Lou's friends everywhere, yeah. You know, on the different hosts, management.
Thought we had the conversation. Here's a guy going on vacation tomorrow. Yeah, I know, Ian. I know what you said. But you know what? I'm going on vacation tomorrow, so whatever. My give a blank meter is about a zero right now because I'm like an hour away from getting out of here.
Mail it in Wednesday.
Yeah, it is a mail it in. If you've learned nothing from me, you've learned that.
It's true. It's the best day to mail in.
If you've learned nothing from me over the last year, 2-3 years you and I have been together, then you know what? You got that in you. I like it. You're looking on. Jess gets to run the board tomorrow. She's going to be at the controls. I'm out of here. I'm going to throw a Cassidy Hubbard Philippine. Has anybody listened to that? 49451. Has anybody listened to that damn thing? 49451. And if so, is it worth listening to? Because iHeart is the world's leader in podcasting. Yeah. Do you guys know that?
I've heard that.
The
yes.
world leader in podcasting. They have some incredible podcasts out there if you want to listen to it. I mean, The Women of Juarez came out. Remember that? During the pandemic. You know, it was like watching, like listening to Investigation ID on the radio or the podcast. Lots of stuff, sports or otherwise.
That's the only way I consume things like that, actually. Yes. It's just podcasts now.
Yes. But
I can't sit down and watch TV for that long. Now,
have you listened to Cassidy?
I have not.
And Ramos.
I would like
what's the guy's name?
Nico Ramos.
Nico Ramos. Isn't he on the pregame show with you for Sounders?
No.
Nico Ramos? Oh, okay. Yeah. Tab Ramos. That's the old soccer player,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Okay. Whatever.
Okay. I would just like a disclaimer that
my guy's
hatred comes from not listening to it. It comes from one promo
that runs like every second.
I know. So that's all. So there's no actual hate towards the podcast because you can't even judge it because you haven't heard it.
And I like Cassidy Hubbard. I think she's great. I really do. I think she's fantastic. Well, she used to be on First Take for a while. For like literally a minute.
And she was an NBA reporter for a long time.
But they put her on First Take for like a second. And like that was like when you worked with Ian at Third Person Wednesday. when you worked with me down at, and Dwight James down on Talkin' Ball on at Comcast Sportsnet Northwest, the old Comcast Sportsnet Northwest.
179.
Yeah, let me go through our list of people. So when we worked down there, it was initially Diana Russini was our Blazer reporter for our pregame shows. She's done okay, right?
I think so.
You ever see her anywhere? I think she's somewhere. She might
be
easy to find.
She's on this TV every day during our show.
So Russini. Abby Chin worked with us. She replaced Russini. Russini went to ESPN. Actually, Russini went to Washington.
My favorite local NBA reporter.
Abby?
Abby? She's
really
fantastic.
Good. She's really good.
Well, we watched a lot of Celtics in my house.
Abby went back to work for the Boston Celtics. And then we had Brooke Olsendam, who left to go to Indiana to work with the Pacers and then did some CBS sports stuff, then came back to work for the Blazers. She's done pretty well, was just named the Oregon State Sportscaster of the Year.
She's wonderful.
And then some guy named Chris Haynes, who's like the number two, like he's only behind Woj in terms of NBA newsbreakers right now. That was our lineup down there.
Just churning out talent.
That was our lineup. That was, and then there's Dwight and me that are just flailing around in local sports radio. And I bring that up because, like, First Take was like, or not First Take, the old Get Up show or whatever, Mike Greenberg show when they first started.
Yeah.
They went
They
had Jen Latta, who does like tons of sideline stuff for College Football Now. She was there for a minute. Cassidy was on for a second. And they go, you know what? She's way better than this. Like, no, you're going to host NBA stuff. Yeah, that's kind of what they are. So I like her. I think she's good. But no, man. No on the podcast.
Just the podcast.
I was going to get to Jamal Adams, and as always, if you've listened to it, tell us, 49451. Maybe you love the promo. I don't know. Let us know. I know my guy Nick Allen, who is a diehard P1. Nick ranks right up there with Keith Miller and Ben and others. Nick says no. And if Nick says no, my man Nick, he's 100%. Okay.
Hey, it's Ian Furness for my good friend, Dr. J. Rudd at Aurora LASIK and auroralasik.com. No more readers. How about that? For about 15 years, I've used reading glasses, but no more. I had refractive lens exchange. I can tell you for a fact it's a life-changing and also something I wish I would have done years ago. You need to check it out as well. Go to auroralasik.com. That's auroralasik.com. Dr. J. Rudd, he is absolutely sensational. Get your consultation scheduled. That's auroralasik.com for your refractive lens exchange.
I'm not going to get to Jamal Adams. I'm going to save that for tomorrow. Okay. You save it for tomorrow. You're running the show tomorrow, right?
Do we want to save it for tomorrow? Maybe after we talk to Joey.
We might get to it today. We won't take the Joey. I thought what Cosell said there in a typical Greg Cosell segment. There's like 18 things you can pull out of there and discuss, right? The Jamal Adams conversation was really interesting, and his thoughts on Jamal, where he's best suited. I'm assuming most of the time, because these guys kind of are a lot of times on the same page, I'm assuming Hugh might share those same thoughts when he comes on at some point with somebody, maybe even us at some point. But when Love was signed, there's this thought, right, that, oh, are they going to cut Diggs or Adams? And certainly there's a cost savings for both those guys if I think it's June 1st that you could save money. Now, remember, when you save money for an NFL team, you're doing so because you want to sign somebody else. You go up against the cap anyway, right? So, like, what would be the motivation to cut, at least in Diggs' case, a good player? You're not going to cut. Quandre Diggs not getting cut. Big-time leader on that team, huge part of who and what they are. When he finally kind of got back healthy and playing like he can play last year, was an impactful guy. Still made a Pro Bowl, which, I mean, if that had to be based on his second half of the season.
Not to mention a locker room guy, too.
And just a huge locker room guy. It just, I mean, he is, he kind of had taken over the role of Bobby and some of the other guys. You know, you'd see him on the podium, win, lose, or draw. He would speak. He would talk. He's, you know, I watch him on the sideline. He is very much involved. I don't think he'd ever get rid of Diggs. The Adams stuff is a whole different, that's a whole different dynamic. I don't think you invest what you invested in Jamal Adams for the trade and then in terms of signing him money-wise, monetarily, to get rid of him. It's brutal how the injuries have taken him off of the field. There's still a football player in there now. The question is, what kind of football player? So, yeah, we'll get to that after Joey. We'll have time after Joey DeCord at 2 o'clock to talk about that, because I thought Cosell's comments were really bang on and interesting. And you can't have enough good players in your secondary. That's the other part of it. Like, they went through a ton of safeties last year. I mean, a ton of guys. So we'll go through that coming up at a little after 2 o'clock today. Good stuff on the linebackers, though, from him. Simpson, who we talked about, Palazzolo. Boy, Noah Sewell.
Not a great review from Greg.
Palazzolo yesterday, today.
Yeah, Palazzolo didn't like him either, right? Right, Jess? He didn't like him either. We'll have that soundbite ready of Noah Sewell just in case, with the 92nd pick, the Seattle Seahawks select from the University of Oregon.
Oregon. My mom still says it that way.
Noah Sewell. Yeah. Okay. We'll do a daily power play when we come back. Huge night last night for the Kraken. What a great night of sports last night, right? Kraken, WBC. We'll get to that. And then Joey DeCord, Kraken netminder, expected to join us coming up at 2 o'clock right here, 93.3 KJRFM.
Malkin shoots one in on goal, deflection, they score! It's Crosby!
In front, Kudra, score!
This is the Daily Power Play.
Deep slot, one-timer, McKinnon, he
scores! McDavid with a finish!
Now, Ian Furness on Sports Radio 93.3.
This is the battle of Alberta we've been waiting for!
KJR FM.
Soucy dumped it ahead, Sprong tracks it down, shot, tipped in front, Tanev, he scores! Dave Tomlinson's key number one, get the first goal of the game, and Brandon Tanev puts the Kraken on top 1-0 with 17:28 to play in the opening period.
Wonderful hand-eye by Brandon Tanev going right towards the net. It was a play in the neutral zone up to Daniel Sprong down the right side. He's throwing it towards the net.
He'll chip it to the corner. Here's Morgan Kiki behind the net, looks in front. Tanev, high slot, score! It's turbo time, times two. Brandon Tanev with a pair, and the Kraken restore their two-goal lead. It's 4-2 Seattle with 5:57 to play in the third.
Oh, the Tan Man hits the light, and it turns on behind the goaltender.
The Tan Man. Tan Man can. Play the Candy Man tomorrow. Make a note of that. That song, the Candy Man can. Yeah, and we'll play that highlight for Tomlinson when he's on tomorrow.
Okay.
Candy Man can. highlights from last night. Fourth line for the Kraken last night, which, and I dare say this because I think we're still in the education part of hockey, right? You dress 12 forwards for a game, three on each forward line. So your fourth line obviously would be your, on the depth wise, the fourth line, right? Pretty easy. But most of the time, the fourth line doesn't play a lot and doesn't contribute a lot. They're kind of just a piece holder, a placeholder. Maybe there are a bunch of guys that are going to bang you around a little bit, play a real physical brand of hockey and what have you. And, it used to be you'd put your tough guys on that line.
Well, sometimes they're penalty killers, too.
Sometimes, yeah. And Tanev, in case of Tanev, for sure. But a lot of times it's just guys, like back in the day, those were you put your meat hits. Like when you wanted to have a good, basically thug go out there and kick someone's ass, they're on the fourth line. But the Kraken's fourth line, when they were really good this year, and I say really good, like when they were cruising through and leading the conference, had the best points percentage, their fourth line was contributing a lot. And more so than most fourth lines offensively. Like they don't have a top end number one line, they do, but they don't. They don't have McDavid and Draisaitl. They don't have those types of players. McCann's the closest thing to that. But they do have four lines they can roll out there. Now, the crazy thing is those guys played less than 10 minutes as a line last night, which isn't a lot of ice time. Yet they contributed big time. The Tan Man, DT, had two goals. Daniel Sprong opened up the scoring after missing a few games. He was out of the lineup. A healthy scratch, as they say. And Morgan Geeky's saucer pass to the Tan Man on that last goal you heard was a thing of beauty. They played great last night. Like, they played outstanding. That's why they won that hockey game. That and Joey DeCord is going to join us after 2 o'clock. But it was fun to watch those guys. Again, with not a lot of ice time, which you don't expect your fourth line to get a ton of ice time together. But they played great last night. Got the win. Knocked off Dallas. That right now would still be... Yes, that would still be a first-round playoff matchup. Seattle and Dallas.
give me 4 to 7 games of those two teams. I'll take it. That'd be fun. That'd be fun watching those two teams go at it.
I'd be down.
Yeah, I mean, I don't Minnesota. But Dallas or Vegas in a 7-game series, assuming Seattle's a wild card, I'm in. I'm in.
Aren't 100%. We so much better on the road?
It's a great question, man. I don't know. You know what? Last accord, he's got 2 wins this year. Both are on the road.
He must know.
They're 23-9-3 away from home. They're 16-15-4 at home.
Yeah.
To Andrew's point. That, you know, the great news about that, they are very unlikely to have home ice advantage in the playoffs. Ever.
We'll take it.
So that's fine. You know
okay.
what?
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't get it. We'll talk to Tomlinson about that tomorrow because it's a great atmosphere at Clement Place. A fantastic atmosphere. But yeah, they're not good at home, but they're really scary good on the road. That's a big time win last night. Great win. They gave up a tying goal with 0.7 seconds left. Usually you can't bounce back from that, but they did last night. Adam Larson got the game winner, and away you go. So. Give me a minute or two here before we get to Joey DeCourt. That's our daily power play here on 93.3 KJFM. I'll ask this question for our listeners at 49451. That's the Tullamore Dew text line when it's game time.
It's Tully time.
Well done. You're almost dialed in. I feel like we're really close, right? Anders, what would you say?
Very close. I'd say I was a 9.5.
9.5. Yeah. There you go.
Well, I need my Anders chorus.
Yeah, right.
Did we watch the WBC last night? Yes or no? I don't care about so much that anymore, but... Did anybody find themselves rooting for Ohtani to strike out Trout?
If you were
watching it last night, that's the question at 49451.
I was rooting for Team USA, but I like Ohtani better than I like Trout.
Okay, so you're close to where I had zero emotional attachment to Team USA. Yeah, like zero. I don't know why. I can't quite understand why. I wish I could, you know, if we could all explain our feelings, I guess we'd be in a better place as a world, right?
Wouldn't we? Hands across America, let's go.
But I could not explain why I don't have. Part of it was I mentioned a pocket. Like Chris and Nathan and I were talking about the other day. I mean, you know, some of the best players for the U.S. didn't even play. They opted out. Wasn't important to them. Why is it important to me? But and as far as pitchers are concerned, obviously right. The guys playing, it's important to them. And but I found myself going, God, I hope Ohtani just K's him. I was hoping it was 3 pitches. It wasn't. It was damn close. But I thought that was incredible last night. But yeah, I was rooting. I'd go for Japan. Go get
I think it's cool to see another team that's not the U.S. win.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Everyone thought the DR was going to roll.
Well, the DR this year.
They thought the DR was going to roll through, and they couldn't get out of the group phase. Like, right. They couldn't even get out of that. I blame Julio. He had 9 strikeouts in the series. Okay.
Get back to camp early.
49451. You can chime in there. All right. We're expected to have Joey DeCord coming up next. He is the Kraken netminder that got called up from the American Hockey League. And he got the win last night. That's coming up next.
Hey, it's Ian Furness for Aurora LASIK and Dr. J. Rudd. For about 15 years, I have had to use reading glasses for everything. Reading text, looking at my phone, script writing, whatever it was, I had to use reading glasses, but no more. I had refractive lens exchange at Aurora LASIK with Dr. J. Rudd. It's life-changing. I wish I would have done this years ago. You can check it out as well. Go to auroralasik.com. That's auroralasik.com. Dr. J. Rudd and his staff are sensational. No more readers. Get your consultation scheduled today. That's auroralasik.com.